Good morning. I just want to bring some very quick encouragement on planted to flourish. So we constantly say that, welcome back to our sister Susan. Please put your hands together for Miss Susan. So we say C3 Kwinana is a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become what God has purposed for your life. That God has a specific purpose for your life. That God has designed you in mind with some problems that are being created in this world. So you, contrary to what you may have been told, are an answer to some solution that God has manufactured and engineered so that only you can fix that problem. There are problems out there that have been designed so that you fix those problems. Now, if you don't begin to understand that you are called of God, that you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will think that it is left to other special ones to do this work. That you have been assigned a work, because doesn't the scripture say that he prepared good works for us to do beforehand? That means there's a job that has been assigned to you and I. Now we have to agree with the word of God in order for those things to come to pass. Otherwise, all we are doing is we are just having fun and we are just taking up a lot of space, and there are problems that remain unsolved because we haven't reconciled with ourselves that, hey, God has purposed me deliberately to fix, to provide solutions to people out there in the world. Now, the Lord will make a way for you. He will provide for you. But his real purpose is to reach out to other people. This is why he said to Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to other nations. So the blessing is not just intended for yourself, it is also intended for other people. The only problem that we might face is that we then hold on to the blessing for ourselves. Now, you might think blessing, I'm talking material things. I'm not just talking material things. I'm just talking the blessing of your gift, the blessing of the essence of who you are. Because that is what the enemy is after. He is after your faith to make sure that you don't fulfill the plans and purposes of God for your life. But I'm here to encourage us this morning that we will be those that will fulfill the plans and the purpose of God for our lives. Amen? So you might have walked in today feeling a bit disconnected, weary, or uncertain about your purpose. But the good news is that God is not finished with you. We get great encouragement from Psalm 92, which shows us a powerful picture that the righteous flourish like palm trees, growing like cedars, and bearing fruit in every season. Now, we've just come back from the Gold Coast, and if you go to the Gold Coast, you see these very big palm trees. Nice. You know, palm trees, it looks like Miami in America. But it was a wonderful place to be. We had attended the C3 National Conference. So palm trees grow big and they look very nice. Cedar trees as well, they grow big and they bear fruit in every season. So people, God wants you and I to be people that are planted so that we can flourish and produce fruit even in old age. So his desire for you is that it's not just survival. How am I just going to get through this life and then make it into heaven? Or we have a mindset where we are just waiting, oh, I can't wait for the good stuff in heaven. So he's not created us. His desire for us is not survival, but it's for us to flourish. For your families to flourish. Amen? In Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock and there is no evil in him. If we read the exact same scripture from the Amplified, It says, the righteous will flourish like the date palm, long-lived, upright, and useful. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they will still thrive and bear fruit and prosper in old age. They will flourish and be vital and fresh, rich in trust and love and contentment. They are living memorials to declare that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So we say C3 Kwinana is a place to be planted. Now, if you are going to be planted, it has to be intentional and not casual. Intentional and not casual. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Flourishing begins when you are planted firmly and intentionally, not in a pot plant. Because the pot plant, yes, it will grow, but its growth is limited based on the capacity of the pot that it's placed in. It will not grow if you are potted or you are portable, constantly moving to and fro. We don't grow when we're in passing. We grow through permanence. When our feet are solid, our hearts are solid. So when we hang around now, when we talk about here, they're not necessarily planting trees. They're not necessarily planting trees in the house of the Lord. But what they're saying is that when you are around the presence of God and what God is doing, there are certain things that will happen in your life because you are in and around the things of God. So it is like a sculptor who picks up a piece of wood or a stone and begins working on that. He's shaping it, he's chiseling, and obviously there's a lot of pressure involved. But if the material and or the stone and the wood keeps on moving, the art cannot be completed. Meaning that God can't finish what we won't allow him to form. If we are not rooted, if we are not planted in the house of the Lord and in the things of God, he cannot form the things that he wants to do with our lives. The problem is that we will shortchange ourselves, we will shortchange our own lives. This thing about being planted and being intentional doesn't apply to church life. It applies to other areas of life, to your marriage, your relationships, your work. In your marriage, being planted means staying committed and working through hard seasons. Fruitfulness comes not from fleeing, but from faithfully weathering storms together. Now, I understand that sometimes it's actually a good thing if you do. Is this being recorded? Hey, if you've got a breakup, it pays. If you have to do it, that's just a natural part of life. That things do come to an end, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying here, we're talking about constantly being planted in relationships. You see, a planted person in a relationship, whether it's with your family, whether it's with your friends, whether it's with your colleague, planted people forgive. They persevere and they grow together. If you want to do well, in fact, if you don't want to have any problems in your life, go and live in the wilderness by yourself in a cave. You'll get along with yourself very well. But the moment you introduce other people into your life, you are introducing a bit of contention and a bit of friction. At work, being planted leads to growth in your character, trust, and influence. Because God uses our jobs as training grounds for the establishment of his purpose in our lives. And so wherever God has placed you, don't be quick to uproot. Because growth takes time. Growth takes time. Belonging, when you belong somewhere, it gives you identity. You come to the Lord, you come here, you get identity. There's a restoration of who you are. You know that you're a son and daughter in God. Planting gives you stability. The, There's just some stableness that comes into your life. Because before you were planted, there was chaos. Before you came to the Lord, there was chaos and confusion and just junk in your life. But being planted in the things of God, he gives you stability. The first thing he does is that he accepts you. You belong. He forms your identity. Then the planting gives you stability to be able to do the things that God wants to do in your life. And then when you stay for a long time, then you become fruitful. So the question, I guess, for you and I today is that, am I rooted where God has called me? Or am I restless and resistant to his process? So number one, you get planted, you make the decision that, hey, I'm going to grow my roots down deep in the things of God. I'm going to commit to say, Lord, I'm going to do things differently this year. I am going to commit to to what you are doing in this place. Then this becomes a place to grow strong. And in growing, once you are planted, then all of a sudden, you want to grow strong. But in order to grow strong, you have to embrace the friction. You don't want any friction in your life? Go and live in a cave by yourself. We understand that it gives this analogy of they will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and stable. Cedar trees grow very, very tall, but they don't grow overnight. It actually takes time. Their strength is hidden underground long before it becomes visible above the ground. This is why the tallest buildings on earth, they first build down to strengthen the foundations before they build up. And those buildings don't just sprout up in a month. They can take a year. Because even when they pour the concrete, it needs time for the concrete to cure and to get strong. Strength in the church is built the same way. It is not through ease, but endurance. So don't avoid friction, because God uses it to sharpen you and I. When we are around one another, we can get annoyed with one another. Oh, I don't like the way that person dresses. Why is he always dressing? Why is she dressing like that? Why is he dressing like that? Oh my goodness, the music is too loud. Now, we don't want to major in opinions. We want to major in facts. Because if we are driven by opinions, we are constantly going to be leaving. Or when we ever face a disagreement with somebody, all right, I don't like you, I'm out of here. You see, because what will happen is that as you are embracing the friction in your life and in a church environment, you're going to have the challenging conversation. There are going to be awkward moments, but there are tools in God's hands to shape your maturity. So we don't avoid those things because they are tools. So you go to a connect group, everybody's got their own take on stuff. And so there's a clash. I disagree with you. But what it does, you see, is that when we step back, we allow that, all that friction to help shape us. We know that those that, if you're a friend with somebody, you start off all high-fiving and liking each other, and you can do no wrong. But eventually the annoyances start to creep up because your friend is always late for the appointment. And then soon enough, you're going to have a conversation with them to say, hey, you know what, I like you very much, but damn, you're always late. And that annoys me. Imagine if you don't say that and then just say, well, they can get stuffed. You're not going to have many friends in this life. Iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. So we have to, as we embrace the friction, you have to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart through others. Growth isn't always comfortable, but it is always worth it. Where is God using friction to make you stronger? not bitter, but better? Where is he using friction to make you stronger? Once we're planted, once we're growing strong because we embrace friction, it also then becomes a place to bear fruit. And that's the whole thing, is that when we are seated in the things of the Lord, in the presence of God, in the house of God, the aim is to bear fruit. Because that's what the Lord wants us to do. His desire is, and it pleases him, when we bear much fruit. That's what he says in John 15, that I am the vine and you are the branches. His desire for you and I is that we bear fruit in our lives. It says here, even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. So God's vision for your life is long term. Your fruitfulness isn't limited by your age, your status, or your stage of life. If you stay planted, you will keep producing wisdom, love, faith, and then you have a testimony. You need to stay connected to the source and trust the slow, steady work of God, because God works. There's no rush. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint that one and we've made it. It's not 100 meters. It's like 5,000 meters. And you know what happens with 5,000 meters? Is that if you start up fast, you're going to burn out very quickly. And so you have to pace yourself. That's why growth takes time. That is why constantly putting yourself under the word of God allows God to begin to form the good habits, the good character traits. Then the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit begin to be evident in your life. So this church is not just a place to belong or be planted. It's a place to become. Becoming does not happen in a moment. It is the result of seasons of abiding, of trusting, and growing. Money is not made by just winning the lotto quick. It's made by getting paid every fortnight and putting money aside bit by bit. This is not the tortoise and the hare, where the hare thinks that it can win. It's slowly but surely. So it's that thing that growing is a result of just the constant disciplines in our lives that are going to make us fruitful and give us strength for the journey. So the question I have for you is that, am I giving God time to develop fruit in me? Or am I expecting instant results? And I wonder, what might God be calling you to become? Perhaps he's calling you to become a more gentle person, a more kind person, have more patience, more tolerance, more loving. We are here to then, when we do all those things, is to bear the light of Christ. Once we've done that, we're bearing the light of Christ to wherever God has assigned us to be. They will declare, it says in that scripture, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. So when we flourish, we become witnesses that are designed to bear Christ's light in the world. When we stay planted, our lives become testimony of God's faithfulness. We become lampstands, witnesses of Christ in dark places. Wherever we go, whether it's at home, at work, at church, in the community, we are carrying the flame of Jesus. Our stability, our flourishing, will point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we exist to equip you to carry the flame of Jesus wherever you go. Our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, wherever that may find them. And so when people see our endurance, your joy, your fruitfulness, they will see God's goodness on display. So another question I have, am I a lampstand in my daily life? Is my life declaring What is my life declaring to those around me? So it's not necessarily what I say, it's actually how I live. Because he says that, you see, because I can say anything. You know, I go to the gym every day. But as you can tell, there's no evidence of that. Or there's little evidence. There's some, but it's a little. You know, what is your life declaring to those around you? Like I said in Fremantle, I could say good, wonderful things at work, and then come school season, when the term comes, I start taking all the pens, you know, I start harboring all the stationery to give to my kids, and then I say, praise the Lord. Will my life testify of the things that I've said? This is why it's nice to go to funerals. I mean, it's not nice to go to funerals. What I mean by that is, when you go to a funeral, you will hear people testify of how the person lived their life, not what they said. So when they go, they'll say, hey, no, so-and-so, he was a great person, da-da-da-da-da. There's only one funeral I've ever seen where somebody said, no, the person lying in there was an absolute liar. And this was, you know, like because social media, there's somebody in the background taping, eviscerated a mother-in-law that was in the box. He was a bad person, da-da-da-da-da. Which I sort of thought, you know what, I think sometimes we have to be honest. Because what tends to happen, you see, is that when somebody dies, they become a nice person. He was a wonderful person, but nobody ever tells about their misdeeds. Our life, you see, has to reflect what our lips say. And I wonder, can our life write checks? You know, or can they cash the checks that our lips write? So as we sort of like bring this to a close, I thought I would just address the dangers of not being planted. The dangers of not being planted. So, without being planted, you miss out on the spiritual nutrients that come from fellowship, correction, teaching, and service. Like a seed blown by the wind, you may have potential, but you never produce any fruit. There's instability in your life. Unplanted people move from place to place, idea to idea, church to church, without consistency. Unplanted people can be easily shaken by disappointment, offense, or trials, and they're out of here. There's a lack of fruitfulness. That's a danger of not being planted. Fruit comes with time, process, and seasons. But if you uproot too early, you abort what was about to bloom. That's why Jesus cursed the fig tree that had leaves but no fruit. Without roots, we can appear busy, but we are barren in our lives because we are not producing anything. God, there's an isolation that happens. God calls us into community, not isolation. So when we are not planted, it separates us from the strength that comes through mutual encouragement, correction, accountability, and covering. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. We become vulnerable to deception when we're not grounded in sound teaching and spiritual community. We're more likely to fall for false doctrine and spiritual hype. And this is the clincher. You know, it says in Psalm 92 verse 15, they will declare the Lord is just, he is my rock. A planted life becomes a testimony. A wandering life rarely does. When you're just hopping from place to place, when you're not settled. It's like me coming here. I live in Australia, I've been here. and I'm longing for Zimbabwe. My mind is just Zimbabwe, but I'm never settled. And my roots cannot grow deep. I don't develop an appreciation for everything this country is because I'm constantly thinking about the homeland. So I have to be planted. I have to say, this is my home. And then I've got to contribute to the success of this country. That's what happens. Yes, I belong here. I've lived here more than I've lived in Zimbabwe. This is my home. That I told you about my funeral plans today. Not that I'm anticipating, you know, that anytime soon. What I just want to share is this. That for a very long time, I paid a repatriation policy so that when I die, I want to be buried in Zimbabwe. So for years, I'm just paying money to some funeral company. And then I decided that, no, this is not it. This is my home. So the day that the Lord takes me, guess where I'm being buried? Somewhere here. Not in here per se, but, you know, because I had to come to a realization that this is my home. This is where the Lord has placed me. And so obviously that funeral plan canceled. And there was a pain, there was a grief around that. But it has allowed me, my tentacles, to grow deep in here, to develop a deep appreciation of everything this country is. And so that's why I can easily stand here and say, hey, there's two good countries in the world, this being one of them, and of course the other being Zimbabwe. But I'm here. This is my home, and I'm doing everything I can to advance this country. This is what happens when we say we are rooted and we are planted in the house of God. We will do anything we can to do what? To advance the kingdom of God. Unplanted people leave no legacy because they're not around long enough to build anything meaningful. We have to be here for the long haul, committed to what God is doing through C3 Kwinana and through your life and the life of everybody that's around us here this morning. And of course, one of the dangers of not being planted is that I'm an easy target for the enemy. The unplanted believer becomes an easy target for spiritual attack, and he gets picked off by the enemy. So my encouragement this morning, as I remind you again that this church is a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become everything that the Lord has purposed for your life. But this is also a call, may we stand this morning, this is also a call for you to be planted wherever God has assigned you, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your workplace. And the reason we do that is that we are responding to the call of God to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So what we do as people that are planted in the house of the Lord, we stay rooted, we don't walk away too soon, and we let God finish what He started. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help me to stay planted in your house, in my relationships, in the places that you've assigned me. Give me the grace to endure, the humility to be shaped, and the faith to keep bearing fruit. Make my life a living witness of your goodness and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. And everyone says,